Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I've entitled The Believer's Authority. And this is something I've taught on for many, many years, but I do have a brand new book out. We just turned this into a book. I'm really excited about this because this is a teaching that is different than what you've heard in church. Matter of fact, it's the title is The Believer's Authority, and then the subtitle is What You Didn't Learn in Church. This is radically different than the way most people approach taking authority over the devil. We're going to be explaining some things about Satan, where he came from, where he got his authority from, that is just going to rattle a lot of people's cage, because that makes a big difference in when you understand where your enemy got his power from and what authority and power he has, and when you understand that yours is infinitely superior, it makes a big difference in the way you relate to him. We're going to be exposing what I consider to be much of the foolishness. I don't know any better way to say it than just foolishness that is in the intercession movement, spiritual warfare movement, and I guarantee you this is going to be different, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. It's definitely working in my life, and I'm seeing good results from it. So for the first couple of days this week, what I've been trying to do is just stress the fact that we are in a spiritual war, that not everything we're dealing with is physical. There are demonic powers operating behind the scenes that are inspiring people. I've used Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, where it says that every person, not some, but every person prior to being born again has the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Every non-believer is under the influence. And again, I'm not making a distinction between possessed, oppressed, depressed. This Greek only says that they are demonized. At times, every one of us have had Satan influence us, and we've said and done things contrary. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says that you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That specifically is saying it is not physical. The strife, the criticism, the variance between people often is demonic in its origin. And if you don't recognize that, and if you're only trying to solve situations with physical power, well, then you aren't going to be successful. You need to recognize that there is a demonic power operating that causes this division. We took the examples in Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus complimented Peter and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you." You were inspired by the Holy Spirit. You were speaking under the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And then in just a couple of verses, Jesus turns around and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you savor not the things that be of God." Jesus complimented Peter for being inspired by God, under the control of God, and then in just verses turned around and rebuked him for being under the control of the devil. So in one person, you can see on the same day, or certainly within a very short period of time, the same person was under the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and in just a few verses was under the control of the devil. You can go back and forth. You aren't either all being led by the Holy Spirit or all being led by the devil. There can be a combination, and we can go back and forth between these two. We have the Spirit of God working on us constantly to bring us unto God, to inspire us to forgive and operate in goodness and kindness towards people. And we have the spirit of the devil through demons constantly trying to get us into selfishness, pride, unforgiveness, bitterness. And a lot of people don't recognize. They just think everything is on a natural level. Let me use this verse out of James chapter 3 and verse 16. And, you know, in my estimation, I think this is one of the most critical scriptures in the Bible in a negative way. It says in James 3:16, it says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." You know, confusion, it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all of the churches of the Lord. So if God isn't the author of confusion, guess who is? Satan is. So in James 3:16 again, where it says where envying and strife is, there is confusion. You could say there is the devil, the author of confusion, and every evil work. It didn't say some evil works. It didn't say this is a big inroad of the devil. This is saying, this is one of the most sweeping scriptures in the Bible, that when you get into envy and strife, you open up the door to the devil and everything he wants to do in your life. Boy, that is one strong, powerful scripture. And again, most Christians, they don't like this terminology about being humanist. We think of that as being people who are non-believers, who don't acknowledge God, any spiritual realm. Everything is just all physical, natural. There is a physical explanation for everything, and we criticize that. But there are a lot of Christians who don't recognize that envy and strife open up a door to the devil and allow him to do whatever he wants to. And so they think that there's only physical, natural reasons that all of these things are happening, and they don't even make the connection. They don't connect these dots about that it's this envy and strife that is causing this problem. I'm sure that there's people watching this program right now that you have unforgiveness, bitterness in your heart. There's probably been hurts and pains. I mean, we live in a fallen world and bad things to happen to all of us. And I can guarantee you there's lots of people, probably millions of people watching this program who have unforgiveness. They have people that they have bad feelings towards. You talk about them. You say things. You are critical of them. And you're thinking, but they deserve it. And you're just thinking on a human level. I'm saying through this verse that whether you realize it or not, where envying and strife is, there is the devil. Confusion, the author of confusion is the devil, and every evil work. You are throwing open the door to your life and just allowing Satan free access to you by harboring unforgiveness. There are some of you that think, well, no, I'm hurting this person. I just can't let them go. And you know what? The person. Let me just say this in love. I know this is going to shock some of you, and it's not going to be a blessing at first, but sometimes you got to be terrified before you get edified. Some of you think you're hurting the other person by holding things against them and saying, I'll never forgive them and let them go. And you know what? The other person could care less. They have forgotten you. They are not being bothered by this. Your bitterness and your unforgiveness isn't holding them and hurting them. But you know what it's doing? It's allowing Satan to bind you. Your life is in a mess. And you are having all kinds of problems and you can't understand why do these things happen and you just feel like nothing ever works for me and you've never made this connection. I'm helping you to understand that you are in a spiritual war, and when you get into unforgiveness, bitterness, and strife, you aren't hurting the other person, you're hurting yourself. You are allowing Satan a direct inroad into your life where he's going to eat your lunch and pop the bag, and then you just can't understand how did the devil, how was he able to do this? Envy and strife is a direct inroad of Satan into your life that allows anything he wants to do. You know, I had an instance many years ago, this has been nearly 30 years ago, where I went to a church. I won't mention what church or what town so that I won't be critical of any individual. But this church was just coming from a denominational mindset to where they believed God could do miracles, but they didn't believe that we had any authority. We couldn't control them. And so it was just kind of like God could do a miracle and you just pray and ask and if it be your will. Well, they were coming into the place under the leadership of the pastor to believe that it was God's will for us to be well. And so they had started taking this stand and believing God wants us well. And before I got there, 2 days before I arrived to hold a meeting in this church, they had buried, I think it was a 16-year-old boy. And the whole church, he had been in the hospital and in a coma, and the whole church had fasted and prayed, and they had believed God. They had prayer around the clock, and they had tried to see this boy healed, And yet he wasn't healed. He died. They had his funeral 2 days before I got there. So when I got there, of course, this was on the minds of everyone. They were brand new at really believing that it was God's will to heal every single time, and their faith was shaken. And so I just had to start dealing with this. And for the first 3 days after I got through with the morning services, every day I'd go out and I'd eat with the parents of this boy who had died, because they were asking questions. Why? How could this happen? Everybody prayed. We had hundreds of people praying. We had people fasting. We had around-the-clock prayer. If it's really God's will, how could this happen? And at first, I didn't know what to tell them. I just told them, I said, look, it is God's will. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. But I said, there's things that, you know, can happen to keep God's will from coming to pass. And I said, I don't know what the problem is. So that's the reason I was going out to eat with them, and I was asking them questions, and I was trying to help them and figure out what went on. Well, anyway, to make this story short, there was so much strife in the home, the husband and wife had already planned on getting a divorce. They were in the process of separating, and there was a tremendous amount of strife. And this not only was between the husband and the wife, but of course the children were affected by this, and there was just high levels of strife in the home. And the very day that this tragedy happened, the mother had a fight with her son and got so mad that she says, get out of this house and never come back. I never want to see you again. And, you know, she probably didn't mean that. She probably just got into the heat of the emotion. And like we were teaching from Mark chapter 16, she allowed the devil to speak through her. She probably didn't mean that towards her son. But nonetheless, he got hurt by this. He went to school. And because of all of this stuff going on, he broke the school policy. He left the school grounds. He went over to a friend's house during lunch, and they were eating lunch at his house. And as they were eating, they found the father's gun, and they got this gun and were playing with it. And the boy accidentally shot himself in the head. And that's the reason that he had been in a coma. And that's why everybody was praying for him. And when I found out all of this stuff, you know what I did? I turned over to James 3:16 and said, where envying and strife is, there is confusion. Satan, the author of confusion, and every evil work. They were saying, how could this have happened? How could our son have died? Well, the reason all of this happened was because they tolerated strife. They were saying things and hurting each other. And this allowed the devil to come in. And Satan got this boy to a place where he was doing things that were foolish and childish. And he violated the laws. You shoot yourself in the head with the gun, and I guarantee you it's going to cause brain damage. And if it's severe enough, it'll kill him. And that's exactly what happened. And they just couldn't understand how this had happened. After I learned all of these things, I said, I know exactly how it happened. You can't allow strife in like this. You can't just sit there and live in strife and think that it has no power. I know that I'm speaking to a lot of people right now that, man, this is shocking you because you live in a lot of strife and you just think, well, this is the way my family is. We were raised this way. This is the way some people just interact with their family. You know, there's a lot of people that are raised with a double standard. You treat strangers better than you treat your own family. When you're at home, boy, you say things that you would never say to anybody else. You do things that you would never do. You let your hair down. You just expose all of your carnalness. It ought to be exactly the opposite. If you're going to treat anybody good, it ought to be the people that you are committed to living with the rest of your life. You ought to treat them better than you treat anybody else. You know, my brother, right after he first got married, of course, they got all of these gifts at their wedding that everybody does, and they had all of this china and the sterling silver and the crystal and all of these kind of things. But they were using these other plates and these other utensils. Anyway, he came home one day after work, and his wife was fixing supper, and she had all of the china out, the crystal, the sterling silver. And he says, so what is all this for? And she says, well, we got friends coming over for supper tonight, and so I put out our best. You know what my brother did? He grabbed all that china and the crystal and the sterling silver and put it up and put out the other stuff. And he says, from now on, our family will use the china and the crystal and the sterling silver, and we'll use the other stuff for other people. Now, that's symbolic as much as anything. But you know what? It really does say something about that my brother put a priority on his family, and because of it, he had a great family. Now, his wife died a few years ago in a car wreck, and he's remarried, but I mean, they had a great relationship because he honored his family, and he put his family first. But most of us were raised with a double standard to where around family, you may say things, you may scream and yell at each other, but when you're out in public, you don't treat each other that way. You act like everything's fine. And you try and present this image, and you treat strangers better than you would treat your own family. Some of you, that's just kind of the rules that you grew up with, and you never thought about it. And so you tolerate strife in the home as, well, this is family. This is the way we treat each other. The Bible says where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. You are opening up a door to the devil. And there are some of you that are praying the Word of God and you pay your tithes and you pray and believe God for prosperity and you are trying to prosper. And yet it seems like every time you take one step forward, you take two steps backwards. You're struggling financially and you just can't understand it because you are giving and you're believing all of the Scriptures and speaking the Word and you just can't understand. How is it that the devil's hindering you? Do you have strife in your heart? Are you at variance with the people in your family? Are you criticizing people? Are you mad at people? Do you have unforgiveness? If you have any of those things, there's no reason to look any further than that because that just opens up a door to every evil work. You give Satan free shots at you every time you get into strife and bitterness. And I know some of you right now are just being overwhelmed like, oh man, if this was true, I'm in big trouble. You are. I tell you, Satan takes advantage of strife. And most people just don't connect these dots and they don't understand. How is it that I was able? I don't understand. I've never been sick and then all of a sudden this terrible thing happened and man, I'm trying to eat right and I'm healthy and I do this and I just can't understand why I'm sick. Well, are you operating in strife? You know, I've actually been in a home one time where the woman was talking about her son. And there was just a tremendous amount of strife between her and her son. And she was just, I just can't understand why this is. I pray for him. I'm trying to do all of the right things. But I stayed in her home. I saw her interact with her son. And one of the things that happened, her son came down. And I mean, she just yelled at him about, get up there and make your bed, you lazy kid. You're never going to amount to anything unless you do better. And she just railed on him. And she had already asked me the day before about what is it that's called, why can't we get along? And you know what I did? I just walked into her and I said, why don't you tell me? I hadn't made my bed yet. I said, why don't you talk to me the way you talk to your son and tell me and yell at me and say, you lousy thing, you're never going to amount to anything. I said, you would never speak to me that way. And yet this is the way you speak to your son and you wonder why you're having problems. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. When you think that you can talk to your mate or your child like a dog and treat them like that because they're family members, then you know what? Something is seriously wrong with the way you think. You need to treat everybody good, but if you are going to have double standards, you ought to treat the people that you live with and love the most the best. And yet it's not that way. You know, I've pastored churches and I had a lot of people come in for counseling. And I remember often that people, you know, in a counseling session, they'd try and be on their best behavior. And they'd try and say, well, honey, and they would say these things. And they would say, they would try and refrain themselves. And I knew that when they were at home, if they would have been talking about this, they'd have been screaming and yelling. But see, they were on their best behavior in front of me. And I remember one time a man who was just treating his wife terribly. And the man, I mean, usually there's two people that have a problem. It's not all one-sided. But the man seemed to be the majority of this problem. And anyway, I just unloaded on this guy. I mean, I talked to him and I said, you are a first-class jerk. You treat your wife terrible. And I blasted this guy and I said, unless you change, unless you do some things, man, you'll never see her love you and respect you the way that you want. And I just blasted this guy because it was all true. And you know what this guy did? You could tell that he was upset. He did not like what I said, but he honored me and he respected me and he controlled himself. And he says, well, you're probably right. and he tried to be polite, and he received the criticism. He didn't like it, but he received it. And you know what I did? I took that and I said, I know that you don't like what I've said, but because I'm a stranger, you are treating me with respect and being nice and doing things. I said, if your wife would have said to you what I just said, it would have been World War III. You would have let her have it. And I said, this is one of the big problems in your life, is that you think that because she's your mate, that you just have freedom and right to say all of these things, and you express yourself and you don't hold anything in. And you just vent it and you spew out all of this venom, and then you wonder why you're having these problems. I said, if you would treat your wife with as much respect as you just treated me with, you would have a good marriage. And I know that there's people watching this program all around the world that it right now is just like a light's going on. Some of you, this is the first time this has ever dawned on you, that you mean, I just don't say everything that I feel. Of course you don't say it to your boss. Of course you don't say it to a judge or somebody who has the ability to, you know, punish you for it. Of course you don't say it maybe to friends and stuff. You reserve yourself. But at home, there are some of you that there is no filter between your brain and your mouth. You say things and you let this strife out, and then you wonder, why is it that we're having problems? How come we're having financial problems? How come people are sick? How come things aren't working better? And you just never connect the dots. You don't have to be not tithing and not giving to have financial problems. You could be doing everything that the Word says, but just get into strife and start doing that. And every evil work, that means even financial ruin, can come at you through this strife that you allow into your life. You could be eating healthy and exercising and trying to do things right, but just be an angry, bitter person. Have unforgiveness in your heart, and I guarantee you, Satan will come in and put sickness and disease on you and destroy your life. I don't know how to make this any clearer, but we are in a spiritual war. And whether the person that you're angry at, it doesn't matter if it's a family member, it doesn't matter if it's somebody else, it doesn't matter if it's the person that cuts you off in traffic and you think, well, they don't know what I've said. They didn't hear me. It doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't matter whether the person you're angry at and critical about is being hurt or not. That bitterness, that strife, is opening up a door into your life and allowing the devil to come in and just shoot his best shot. And there's not a person watching this program that is so far ahead and so strong in the Lord that you can just give the devil free rein in your life to shoot his best shot, to bring his best disaster into your life and overcome it. No, you can't do that. You need to close this door to the devil. You need to recognize you're in a spiritual battle, and your actions, even your emotions, are direct inroads of Satan into your life. And if you don't understand that, it doesn't mean it's not happening. It just means that you don't have a clue why it's happening. You're one of these that feel like everything is out of control and that I have no control and who knows why things happen. There's very good reasons why things happen. And I tell you, a lot of it's because people don't realize we're in a spiritual war. They indulge their flesh. They do things that they shouldn't be doing, and they are giving Satan place in their life. You need to recognize we're in a spiritual war. Now, I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue to teach on this on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in. And also, I'd like to encourage you to get the materials. We've got this brand new book, study guide, a DVD and CD of this teaching on the believer's authority, and it could make a big difference in your life. Listen as our announcer gives you that information, and call or write today.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Believer's Authority, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled, We're in a Spiritual War, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL18 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I know that many of you have been touched by today's broadcast. It's helping you, and you're saying, man, this needs to be heard. People need to hear this. Well, I'm doing everything I can. We now reach a potential of 2.2 billion homes around the world. But of course, you know, this isn't saturation. Not all of these people are home at the time our program is on. We need multiple broadcasts. We are reaching out and trying to expand as much as I possibly can. But, you know, it takes a lot of money. And the only way we can do this is if people help us. If you've been blessed by this program, I'd like to ask you to bless us back and help us reach further with the gospel. We have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call and become a partner with us today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, and Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth seminar, May 7th through the 9th. He'll also be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference, May 21st through the 23rd, Raleigh, North Carolina, for a Gospel Truth seminar, June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible.